KETE AM 1450, afternoons with Aaron here on this Monday. And of course, Mondays mean Mike Grimm with the Minnesota News Network, their sports director, and of course, the voice of Golden Gopher football and men's basketball. And Mike, a good afternoon. How's your Monday going?
Yeah, going great. Can't complain. It's always good coming off of a Gopher weekend like they had with a nice win on the road. And obviously we wish the Vikings had done a little better in trying to make a field goal yesterday. But from a Gopher perspective, what a weekend, no doubt.
We'll get to the Vikings later on in our conversation, but let's start with the game you heard on KETE. Like Mike mentioned, a very good at Saturday in Boulder, Colorado. 30-0, is that what it finished up?
Yep, 30-0, and really a dominating effort on both sides of the football, especially up front on both sides, which is, you know, a nice feather in their cap headed into homecoming this week, and then the Big Ten schedule resumes the week after.
Were you surprised? Again, I did not get a chance to watch the game on Saturday. I was just checking my phone for scores, and I'm seeing the halftime score. We're going to the fourth quarter. And, you know, we talked about this last week. This was a Colorado team that gave a very good Texas A&M team all they could handle. They lost to the Aggies, I think, by 3 points. And the Gophers, like you mentioned, dominated on both sides of the football. Were you shocked at all?
I don't know if shocked, but I'll be honest. I mean, I don't know if anyone figured, you know, you're going to win by 30 and pitch a shutout, first shutout that the Gophers have had against a Power 5 team since 1977. I mean, when about that on the road, they had a couple of home shutouts since, but a road shutout 1977. So that's a long time, and shutouts are rare in college football nowadays. You know, so I don't think anyone saw that. You know, the Gophers were at kickoff a 3-point underdog in this game, and they really, you know, they probably should have been up 20-0 at halftime. You know, they left some points on the board with a missed field goal and a missed extra point, and then they kind of, through various things, screwed up the end of the half and allowed the clock to run out in a bit of a mistake. I think that the officials misled the coaches. At least that's the way the coaches felt in terms of what the game was going to have happen and how it was administered. So they didn't get a field goal attempt off when I think they felt they should have. No guarantee they were going to make it. It was going to be a long attempt. But in other words, you know, they left 4 to 7 points on the board. So it could have been 20-0 at half. You know, at one point, Texas A&M had, I think it was 28 yards at halftime total. And I don't know what they ended up with, 94 or something like that. So just a dominating effort and good to see. And so I thought the Gophers could win if they played their game. But, yeah, I'll have to admit, I didn't see that coming based on what we saw the previous week, frankly, from both teams.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher football here on KETE. Again, a 30-0 win for the Gophers over Colorado on Saturday. And I know we're still a handful of days away. Bowling Green, like you mentioned, homecoming coming up this Saturday. We'll have the game for you right here on KETE. Mike, what's your early scouting report on Bowling Green?
Well, it's a program. So, like a lot of those Mid-American programs, they go in cycles, and some of it depends on the recruiting cycle. So if you hit on a couple of classes in a row, and when those guys get old, you see teams, you know, get, if you look at the MAC, that's the way it's been. You know, Buffalo is good in classes. Toledo has kind of been in that mix. Kent State right now feels like it's got a good shot. Miami last week, you know, they have a bunch of young guys after winning the league in 20. And, you know, they like their future. So Bowling Green, it appears to me, is kind of in one of those cycles where they're not where they've been. Remember, there's, you know, that's a program that has produced a couple of good coaches of late. You know, Urban Meyer, I guess, of late. It shows my age. That was, what, 20 years ago now. But Urban Meyer, you know, got his start at Bowling Green. I'm trying to think. The guy that was at Wake Forest, he ended up kind of fizzling out at Wake Forest. I think he's still at Wake Forest. Dave Clawson, I believe he was at Bowling Green. So, you know, again, they kind of go through cycles, and that's why those coaches, when they have a chance to get out of that league, they will. You know, P.J. Fleck struggled his first year at Western Michigan and then, again, stacked some recruiting classes on top of each other and put some fine years together. So Bowling Green appears to be in a down cycle. Obviously, there's no guarantees. And particularly no guarantees ever when it comes to a MAC team playing a Big Ten team. Western Michigan, speaking of the Western Michigan team, the Broncos, they just beat Pitt this past weekend, and that was a week after Pitt dominated Tennessee. So that, you know, so you can't just sleepwalk through it. That said, with that game last week, Aaron, with how well they played, and it was so cool at the end of that game, there was probably, I don't know, 5,000 to 10,000 Gopher fans there. And at the end, it was a hot day, so all the Buffalo fans had left. Their team was getting destroyed, so they left. So it was only Gopher fans, and the Gopher fans were all pretty much stationed down near where the tunnel was for the visiting team. So it was just a cool scene. It was loud. Everyone was excited. I mean, that's a great trip to begin with, and then your team wins 30-0. So I could see just human nature, a little bit of a letdown, and I don't mean it in a negative way. I mean, you can be as competitive as you want, but you know, human nature would tell you that it would be a shocker to me if they came out just sharp as a razor with Bowling Green. So, frankly, I think it's a nice buffer game. And then you can get back into Big Ten play the following week on the road at Purdue. So, having said all that, I don't want to embarrass myself and a Bowling Green to pull off the stunner and say, boy, Grimm thought it'd be a cakewalk. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I'd prefer to play Bowling Green at home after that win than go right back on the road and play Purdue.
Pre-game at 9 o'clock on Saturday, kickoff at 11, right here on your home for Golden Gopher Athletics, Kate Radio. Mike Grimm with us here on a Monday. And, Mike, I'm going to bring this up because I've had a lot of people ask my opinion. With the rumor, and this is going to happen every time there's a big-time college coaching open spot, because P.J. Fleck is known around the nation. USC, they got rid of their coach, kind of surprised people. So the Trojans have an opening. P.J. Fleck's name is linked to it. What's your thoughts? I think anytime there's going to be a major program with an opening, I think P.J. Fleck's name's going to be linked to it, so I don't take a whole lot of stock in it. How about you?
Yeah, I think there's a number of ways to look at it, and it's not really a tap dance. It's just kind of this is how it goes, and I think Minnesota people have to embrace this. I think it's nothing to be alarmed about. Look, at the end of the day, if P.J. Fleck ends up going to USC, that means that a blue blood program thought high enough of your football coach to go get him, right?
Yep.
So, in a sense, that's a positive. That said, I doubt that he's in their top five or six at this point. Doesn't mean that they couldn't trickle down to him. And I'll be honest. I mean, if I were in his shoes in a team like USC in a major market with the major resources, you're basically going to the school that is Ohio State in its league, right? And you're competing against Ohio State at Minnesota. That's an attractive job. I think it's a top 10 or 15 job in the country. I don't think I'd get any argument from people. And I think part of why PJ's name comes up. So the thing is, if it gets to the point where they offer him, I don't know how offended we could get if PJ walks. I'm not predicting that's the case. In fact, I don't think it'll get to that point. I don't think he'll be offered the job. Could get a contract extension out of it. I mean, that'll be the next thing, yep. Aaron. Keep a tally board of how many coaches get a contract extension out of just the fact that their name got floated out for the USC job, right? That's usually what's going to happen. Obviously, only one guy can get it. 15 agents are out there for 15 guys telling their athletic directors that, hey, USC's interested. What are you going to do to keep my guy, right? So some of that's that. But I also think this, if he leaves, I don't know how offended you can be. And part of why his name comes up, there's a number of reasons, and I think we all have to understand it. One, he's young. He's energetic. He's done it at Western Michigan. He's had an 11-win season 2 years ago at a place that, frankly, hasn't done a lot of 11-win seasons. And so he's got a track record. He's got a unique approach that might be attracted to some people. People in L.A. might say this is just the perfect guy, right, for us trying to get attention in a market that's polluted with one pro sports teams, the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Angels, you know, you name it, and not to mention all the Hollywood stuff going on. So a guy like P.J. Fleck might be able to capture more attention than others. So all that stuff is going, plus – quite frankly, the national media looks at Minnesota as kind of a mediocre job. They don't look at it the way we do. We live here. We love living here. We think this is the greatest place in, you know, the universe. But, you know, some guy doing writing in L.A., some guy doing writing in Louisville like Pat Forty and Bruce Feldman out in Los Angeles and, you know, Pete Thamel out in New York, those guys are probably looking at Minnesota and P.J. Fleck as well. Yeah, P.J.'s looking, the second he gets a really good job offer, he's got to leave that place, right? So if you want to be offended by something, don't be offended that PJ's name is necessarily in it. Don't be mad at PJ. I'd be mad that the national writers think so lowly of you that every time a job pops up, everyone thinks PJ's dying to get out of here. And, look, I'm around PJ a lot. I don't think he's looking. I don't think he's dying to get out of here. like I said, if USC calls, that's a hard job to turn down, but it's not as if, you know, I don't think he's out pursuing the job. I think he was absolutely getting ready for Colorado. Like, I saw somebody tweet, like, probably this week there'll be an announcement. No. Nobody's going to be hired by USC until after the season. You know, that doesn't mean there's not back-channel discussions with coaches all over the country. I think Eric Bieniemy's name's been called up. You know, the AD at USC was the AD at Colorado when Bieniemy was an assistant, so they've got a previous relationship. And that, to me, would be a home run kind of hire, a little bit like the Pete Carroll deal. So there's all kinds of stuff. I just think we have to take it in and embrace it, quite frankly. This is good. It gets PJ's name out there. It validates him. You know, people here say, yeah, PJ's kind of hokey. Look at his approach and his style. And my answer is, well, look what the country thinks. They think this guy's pretty good. They've got his name attached to every, you know, job that's open. And recruits see that, and a lot of people, because we live it and we're home here, say, oh, that's going to hurt recruiting. I totally disagree. I think it helps recruiting. PJ Fleck comes into your living room and says, look, you know, I turned down Tennessee. I turned down USC. I'm here for Minnesota. They wanted me, and I stayed. That tells you how what I think of the program. So I think it helps. I, as you know, I grew up in Iowa, and I followed that program a lot. Kirk Ferentz was a nobody, no pun, in, you know, I don't mean that in a mean way. All of a sudden, the Jacksonville Jaguars offered him their job in the after he won a Big Ten title, and people started to take note. And he did, and Kirk Ferentz never denied any rumors. He let his name get out there in about a 4 or 5 year stretch. Every year, his name got floated out, and Iowa people were losing their mind. Why doesn't he say something? Why doesn't he stop these rumors? And basically, what happened is it validated him. Pretty soon, everyone said, "Boy, all these NFL teams want Kirk Ferentz," and players started to say, "Wow, NFL teams like him. I'm going to go play for him." So that's the way I would embrace this thing with PJ Fleck. That's the way I look at it. If he, and look, at the end of the day, if he leaves, then it's a tribute that your football coach was so good that one of these top 10, 15 jobs wanted him. And, you know, we worry a lot here. I think every sports fan worries, but we worry a lot here. Look, it's been 35-plus years since a coach on his own has chosen to leave the Gopher football program for a different job. So, you know, a lot of this is probably worrying about nothing.
Mike Grimm, voice of Golden Gopher football, sports director, Minnesota News Network. And, Mike, before I let you go, let's touch on the Vikings real quick. A 34-33 punch in the gut kind of loss for the Minnesota Vikings yesterday. But you know what? Looking at social media, talking to, you know, my friends, my family, that's all Vikings fans, nobody's really that upset today, because I think we're just kind of getting used to this, being a fan of the Minnesota Vikings, that this kind of thing happens to us, and that curse, or whatever you want to call it, it came up and it bit us again yesterday.
It's crazy. It's just, it's really amazing. You know, I was watching the game with my in-laws. My brother and sister-in-law, my mother and father-in-law, and I were sitting in our basement watching the game. And the next thing I know, the kick, it didn't enter my mind that he'd miss. I know the history. I know that there's been a lot of issues in years past, and I've been here since 06 and have seen it all, Blair Walsh and all these others. But it never entered my mind that he'd miss. I'm like, this is going to be a nice win. Cousins got him in position. This is great. And when he missed it, normally in that setting, everyone would be like, oh, man, I can't, you know, whatever. Everyone just didn't even react. We just kind of stood at the screen. There wasn't one person that said a word. We kind of stared at each other. There was total dead silence. Like you said, it's almost like, wow, yeah, that you know, we should have known. Why did we let ourselves, why did we talk ourselves into it? It was, at least that was my, you know, maybe yep. Other people were screaming and kicking in holes in the wall and everything else. But we just sat there. Not a word was spoken for a good 15 or 20 seconds. We were just looking at each other with our jaws dropped. Like, did that really happen? How in the world can this happen again? And it was crazy. I mean, the offense perfectly positioned the team where it needed to be. 37-yard field goal in NFL standard is a gimme. I think I saw it's 94% over the last 4 years, field goals of 37 yards. I mean, that's more than, it's almost 10 out of 10 times, you know. Yeah. It's almost foolproof. But yet the Vikings kicker somehow finds a way to miss the field goal.
Vikings get beat 34-33. Home opener, Seattle, comes to a town coming up on Sunday. Mike Grimm with us here on KATE. And, Mike, hey, good luck to your Cardinals. Keep it going. What's going on with St. Louis? All of a sudden, they're the hottest team in baseball, and your team's going to make the playoffs, it looks like.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it was a miserable middle part of the season. It reminds me a little of the 06 season when the team was ready to fire Tony La Russa. I mean, the fans were ready to fire Tony La Russa. The team wasn't. And the next thing you know, they win the World Series with some late, you know, in 2011, a similar thing. You know, that was probably closer to 2011 when they won it all in terms of that late charge to get into the wild card spot. But it's been fun to kind of follow from afar. I obviously am not invested in it like I once was when I worked there and, you know, when I was a fan of the team as well. But we'll see how it goes. But it does remind me a little bit of that. So that of the 2011 season. So that's been kind of fun to follow from afar, and we'll see where it takes them. But yeah, it's kind of fun to watch.
White Sox Cardinals World Series. We could have a lot of fun with that one. We could have tons of fun with that one.
Yep, I'm in. Let's do it.
Mike Grimm, sports director, Minnesota News Network, voice of Golden Gopher football. We'll hear from Mike on Saturday. Bowling Green in town for a homecoming against our Gophers. 9 o'clock pregame kickoff at 11. Mike, like always, thank you so much for the time. Have a great week, and we'll talk again next Monday.
Look forward to it, Aaron. Always enjoy it. Thank you.